Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show. My name is Ray Hewer and we have the one and only Brad Hughes in the house. So you know it's going to be a good day. Brad, I'm so excited for you to be here. Everyone needs to grab their cup of coffee, get ready for the morning because you know it's going to be a good one. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show where we get to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern, currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. A special shout out to those also listening on the Teach Better Talk podcast. We have Brad Hughes in the house, which if you listen to the podcast, you know Brad Hughes from our Sunday show. He's been on our Today show before, but you know it's extra special when he's here. Brad, how are you doing this morning?
Wow, that's a fantastic introduction. I feel really grateful and excited to be here with you, Ray. Good morning to everyone in our Teach Better community. And I'm looking forward to diving into conversation, but most of all, just hanging out with you, bestie.
I'm so glad you're here. I knew that it was going to be a good morning when I saw your name coming up on my morning to-dos. And so I'm so glad that we're able to talk shop and hang out. It's March 15th, which feels like we're already like really through March. I know a lot of people are going to be celebrating those spring breaks. So there's lots of fun things to celebrate in March.
You know, the March break is such an important milestone in the school year. And I know that educators watching and listening are anticipating that time off, whether you're spending it close to home or whether you're on the road. But it is such a well-deserved and much needed opportunity to reconnect with the people, the places, and the things that matter the most to you. I'd encourage all educators who have that time to really focus on that restorative aspect of the time away. And to set aside work worries if you can, recognizing those worries will be there when you get back. Isn't that right, Ray?
But they will.
That time is so much needed.
Yes. But Brad, tell me, you're in an administrative role. Do you have spring break or do you have to go in during spring break? There's just no staff. How does that work on your end?
In our district, yeah, we do enjoy a spring break as school administrators. So we do have that time away and we've got the opportunity, just like we mentioned, to connect with family, to connect maybe with travel. That's a big aspect of our family life, is an opportunity to travel over the March break. I know that some colleagues are sticking close to home and investing that time in things that are going to make them happy in our neighborhoods and in our communities too.
I think it's wonderful that you guys get to enjoy that. I know at different leadership contracts are different, but regardless if you have to go into the school building over spring break or if you get to relax with your family, we want you to find that balance and really enjoy the hopefully healthy rejuvenation that can happen. Brad, it sounds like you'll travel with your family during that week.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a wonderful trip to California planned, Ray, with lots of fun and lots of excitement, including visiting Disneyland, taking a look around the Walt Disney Studios. We've got a Universal Studios day in the park, as well as a studio tour. We've got stops at the Queen Mary. We've got La Brea Tar Pits, and we've even got a Jeopardy taping. We're going to say hello to Ken Jennings and company at Sony Pictures Studios. So huge shout out and appreciation to my wife, Jennifer, who's a master vacation planner and has almost single-handedly taken on this itinerary. We're going to have an amazing time.
Oh my God. I want her to plan all my vacations. That is.
I would like to. Right now, Jennifer is a daycare provider in our home. I think she has a second life and maybe has a second career ahead, especially in vacation planning. She really has a knack for finding, connecting, and just making a wonderful itinerary. So I'm very, very grateful. Very excited too.
Oh my God, that'll be so good. You'll have to let us know how that is. That'll be awesome. Friends, if you are listening now, we'd love to know when your spring break is, if maybe it already happened, maybe it's coming, you know, we'll see. But then also, could you let us know what you're doing? Even if it's just like sitting on the couch eating bonbons, like no shame. I know we don't really get a spring break with the Teach Better team, but I kind of consider like end of March to be spring break time. But then again, Brad, I actually am headed to California working with educators. So maybe I'll consider that my spring break, even though it's a work trip.
Tell me about what you're looking forward to most about California, knowing that you have had that opportunity to train in the LA area recently, right?
Yeah. So I was in the, I was working with our LA school district back in, was that end of January? I think it was. Yeah. Now I'm headed back there, but this is a really interesting trip. It's a little different than the one prior because I am going back to that LA school district. Shout out to that incredible charter school that we're working with in a very urban area. And then I'm not leaving California. I'm then flying to Sacramento, driving 3 hours inland to from Sacramento and going to Yosemite Park. We are working with the school district in that area as well. So I'm kind of like doing city life for 3 days and then traveling to a very, very rural area for the next four or five. It's like total, it's Wednesday to Wednesday, but I'm only at a school district like 2 days here and 2 days here.
What an amazing contrast between an urban and then a rural district, plus the incredible scenery in Yosemite. Like, is there any aspect of that park that you've either visited or you're really looking forward to exploring?
Yes, thankfully this will be, I've been to this district a few times. First off, the staff at this building is killer. Like, to be able to work in a fully outdoor campus in Yosemite Park, you'd have to have like the best personality. Like, these are all just like incredible people living quite the life. But the drive from Sacramento there is about 2.5-3 hours, and it is an evolution. That drive is beautiful. I actually specifically planned my travel to be during the day because you miss it if you drive at night and there's like no cell service. So first you drive through, you know, a little bit of city, then you drive through wine country, then you drive through like rolling farms of cattle, and then you drive through mountains and lakes, and then you arrive. It's like such an incredible journey that I'm willing to be in a car for.
It sounds like a four seasons journey, or almost like a trip across the country, just in a, you know, a 3 hour drive. What an amazing opportunity you've got.
Yeah, highly recommend. And that school out there is doing amazing things. So hopefully we get to continue to celebrate them, and hopefully more members of our community can continue to visit different Teach Better schools. And that one is definitely a very special one. So excited to enjoy the LA life and excited to enjoy the Yosemite Park area. And then I'm back. So I don't think it counts to have an itinerary as good as yours. Yours sounds better, but at least we'll both kind of be able to reflect on those trips in fun ways.
The incredible opportunity that you have, as well as anyone who is in schools, supporting the work of educators, is you walk away knowing that you are a difference maker. And since you have that ongoing relationship with each school district, you have an opportunity to take part in the conversation of their growth over time, which is hugely rewarding.
Yeah, that's my favorite part, Brad. I'm glad we get to highlight that. I want to highlight that for our communities, whether you're working with the Teach Better team or not, like that's besides the point. Make sure that you are doing professional development that is continual. You don't ever want to do this one and done. And being able to visit both these campuses, this is like my third or fourth time being at each of them. And I just, you get to know the people, you get to celebrate so many beautiful moments that these educators are creating. And like I said, just the personalities of these educators, I'm learning so much. And I love that, to be honest, most of my job over that trip will be sitting down with educators and just celebrating the good things they're doing. That's my type of professional development. Sign me up.
Well, I think the opportunity too is to really tailor your work over time to meet the needs of the people in front of you and to build the relationships, not just as a side benefit of the work, but it's intimately working with people, getting to know them from the inside out, what makes them tick, what makes their faculties and what makes their school buildings tick, really, and focusing on the kids' needs, you know, building relationship through the work. I mean, that is the hallmark of great teaching, whether you are teaching adults or working with kids.
Yeah, it's super fun. The one school in LA is working on becoming a full grid high school. And the school over in Yosemite Park area is focusing on moving towards standard-based grading. So both with great goals, both have teachers setting individualized personal goals throughout that time. Lot to celebrate there. So huge shout out to those two buildings. And Brad, I'll make sure to keep everybody updated while we enjoy our travels. Good things here.
Yeah, likewise.
So we're going to transition to our team talk, Brad. I have a listener question that I am dying to get your thoughts on. It's one of those questions that makes me a little nervous to talk about, but I feel like I can handle it with you. So are you up for a little bit of a challenge?
Absolutely. I think together we can take on just about anything.
Let's see. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Teach Better Today morning show. We're thrilled that you're here. We are diving into listener questions. Brad, before we get into this one, tell me a little bit about why you like listener questions so much. Because I know, because you specifically requested it, that you enjoy these.
I really enjoy diving into sort of the unexpected along with you, Ray. And like I said before the break, together we can really take on anything, whether it's from the sublime to the ridiculous. We are experienced educators, but we also have a heart for kids and a heart for those connections. So I think between the two of us, we can really speak to experience. But the other thing is we also recognize what we still have yet to learn. So there's that combination of expertise plus humility plus, you know, the normal shenanigans that we might find here on the Teacher Better Today show.
So good. So good. So let's get into this. This is an interesting one. This was a listener question submitted that has to do with social media. The question says, how can educators support students in navigating social media in a healthy and responsible way? Very, very good question here. We're looking at how educators can be a part of students navigating social media. And I think it's interesting that we mentioned the healthy and responsible, because regardless of what age group you teach, you're most likely having to work with students that are influenced and are aware of what social media is.
100%. And the nature of the question leads me to wonder what may be happening in that classroom or school that the educator is concerned about that may not be healthy, productive, or connective. I'm wondering if there's social media use that's coming up during instructional time that is distracting to or interfering with the teaching and learning. Unfortunately, sometimes social media contact between and among kids and communities is detrimental to how kids feel about themselves, whether it's relationships, conflicts, bullying. That can also come into our classrooms too. So as educators, we know that what happens outside of our walls filters back and it affects those relationships and the learning as well. The last thing is around ethical use of social media, whether it has to do with accessing information to support learning in a way that's ethical and above board. Maybe it's looking at the use of AI to generate images or text. Like, I'm really curious to know what aspect of social media might be problematic for the educator asking the question. So I'm asking a question about the question, I guess, right?
Yeah. And, you know, not being able to answer that obviously gives us a little bit of a limitation with the type of advice we can provide. But I do believe that we can highlight social media as both a positive and a negative and be able to discuss some ideas around how we can celebrate and, you know, diminish the effects of social media as educators. I do want to share, anybody in the comments, if you have social media rules in your classroom or social media rules in your building, I'd love to see those in the comments. It's always great to see how other buildings are tackling things. And, you know, obviously we can have our opinions on social media, but it's definitely not something going away. And it's definitely something we're all learning to make an effective practice. Brad, if you don't mind, I first want to kind of talk about like the elephant in the room of social media, which is the bullying that comes up. That's just inevitable, I think, in schools right now that students have and unfortunately continue to use social media as a negative way to communicate with peers and how that can trickle into our schools, even if it's not always happening in the building. I know that that can be really hard. And from an educator's vantage point, I think the ability to speak freely with students about how to use social media safely then becomes a very appropriate conversation. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's a delicate balance between what often becomes a reactive approach when there's something critical that occurs and then, you know, shifting and learning from the reaction, the response, and hopefully the resolution of that to some proactive work. So, I mean, we're all engaged in learning communities and learning to communicate and to collaborate online means that developing some sense over time of the do's and don'ts or the positive aspect of social media, modeling those desired behaviors in our classrooms if we're accessing social media to, say, support our lesson learning or maybe a hot topic that we're starting our community circle with, but modeling those best practices and not only showing but articulating as educators why we choose to access, share, and support social media in the ways that we do. The other thing is restorative practices are crucial when we become aware of social media that's being used for intimidation, harassment, or bullying. I know schools and have their specific policies and procedures around that. Those would guide my work as a school leader. When I become aware of that, I refer to the policies and procedures of my school and district to sift and sort what happened, who's affected, and then seeking the information and trying to achieve some sort of resolution, and as well as some learning so that we can learn from and shift that to take a wider look at our community and say, what have we learned from this incident, or what have we learned from this example, and how can we reflect on our community as a whole in terms of that social media use?
Yeah, I do appreciate and value your highlight there of the positives we can use social media for. Bringing in social media into bell ringers or teachable moments for students is so valuable. There are so many great pieces of content. I'll just say it that way. There's so many great pieces of content that we can use to either bring to our students to make a lesson more engaging and or learn from, and in turn model for our students by saying, hey, I saw this really good science experiment online. I'm going to go and do that with my students. The networking on social media in terms of a educator to educator or educator to parent conversation can be incredibly valuable. And, I also love that educators are using social media to keep up with trends with their students. I think, as much as we say relationships are important, relationships can be celebrated even while being on social media by saying, okay, my students are into this specific idea. I'm going to choose to follow and engage with that type of content so that I'm knowledgeable. When I get to school, I'm able to talk to my students about that because I'm also tuned into that element of their life. So again, trying to find the balance really comes down to what I think you mentioned earlier, which is about modeling, being able to model behavior and model how to have conversations about that behavior is a big win for me.
You know, when you said the word celebration, Ray, I immediately perked up because that, I think, could be the foundation in any classroom or school of modeling that appropriate and proactive and community-focused social media use is using social media, whether it's Instagram or whether it's TikTok or whatever it is, sharing the great things that are happening in your classrooms, in your hallways, in your school. It's an amazing way to build community collaboration, as well as an awareness of the back and forth, the give and take of effective, proactive, respectful social media communication. So it could be a classroom account. It could be an admin account where we're celebrating the great things happening in a school. It could be a school district account that's highlighting the great contributions that students are making. And that would be a great way for educators individually and in teams to dig into the hows, the whys, and the positive things that social media can bring, drawing attention to the great things within our buildings, but also modeling the communication. And it's not going to be without pitfalls. There may be setbacks, but there's always going to be learning. So that guidance that we're providing for kids, even in our primary grades, around celebrating the learning and sharing it out to the community and waiting for the feedback, providing information to an authentic audience and getting the feedback can be really, really inspirational for everybody.
I love this conversation. So many layers, depending on who you are listening. If you're an educator that wants to embrace it, depending on what lens you're looking through, I hope you write a few notes down and go try it out and let us know how it goes, because we really definitely want to find a way to make this less of a thorn in our side as we're teaching, because just like the realities of other elements that have progressed, this is definitely something that's not going away. So trying to find the right balance and all through all these different lenses is important. Brad, thanks for tackling that listener question with me. I appreciate it.
Fantastic. And I would encourage anyone who wants to learn more about responsible and socially appropriate social media to refer to your school and district procedures, as well just a Google search of modeling that kind of, there's wonderful resources out there, both in Canada and the US, likely worldwide, Ray, that guides educators to do just what we're striving to do, which is to model safe, appropriate, and hopefully fun communication using social media.
So good. Friends, we hope you have an amazing rest of your Friday. I'm glad you could celebrate here with us. Thank you for making Teach Better Today a part of your morning routine. Brad, it was so good chatting with you. I hope you have a good rest of your day and weekend ahead.
Thanks very much. Wishing you and everyone a good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Teach Better Today.
See you soon, guys. Hey, Teach Better community, thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.